for our text today. Let me just say that one of the great blessings of the revival this week is just exactly what you just experienced just a moment ago, is the involvement of our young people in almost every service, whether they were singing, giving testimonies. Y'all remember that little 8-year-old boy that got up and led in prayer and sang? My goodness. I mean, I thought the roof was going to cave in after that. Boy, I tell you what, he just brought the house down. And I tell you, it was a wonderful thrill to see the move of God among our teenagers, among our young people, and to see the reaction and the response. You're going to see that tonight. Many of our young people will be participating in the service as well tonight, as well as the adults. And so if you go back and study history of revivals, you'll find that every move of God that's been documented, there was a great move among young people in every great revival. You mark it down. It was somewhere along the line, there was a move of God among young people. And so I am sensing just a great power of working in our community. And I don't want you to miss this tonight. I promise you. I'm going to let you out plenty of time to go get you a burger before you have to get there tonight. That might be all the time you have, but... No, I just want you to be prepared and looking forward to that service tonight. I've been speaking to you on Sunday nights. Those of you that have been with us on Sunday nights in the services that we've had over the last several weeks, I've been preaching a series that I've called God's Names for His Children. And because we were not together last Sunday night here, and we won't be together Sunday night here tonight, and for me to continue this, Lord just laid it upon my heart, because I was really praying, you know, one of the hardest sermons to prepare for is not the sermon to preach at the revival, but the hardest sermon to prepare for is the one after the revival. It's when we get back here after being, you know, all week together with other churches in our community and everything else. And the Lord just really impressed upon my heart that I need to continue this series, this part of it tonight, this morning. And that is in Psalm 23. We've looked at different names that God has used for His children. We talked about the importance of names. We talked about the name Christian. We talked about the name Saint. And we've used others. But this morning, and I want to go to Psalm 23. And a beautiful passage. Many people who are not even Christians, who do not even know the Lord, don't even go to church, know this passage of Scripture. They've heard it, they've read it, they've heard it quoted many times in different places, and I've preached this sermon from this passage, I've preached from this passage many times in funerals and so forth, but this morning is not a funeral. I trust you. I want you to trust me. This is, I believe, what God has for us this morning. As I look at, because Proverbs 22:11 tells us that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And we are finding throughout the Word of God that God gives us names. God calls His children by name in different ways, and we can learn so much about our relationship with God as we study of what these names mean and how they relate to God and how they relate to us. And I want you to stand as we honor the Word of God this morning in Psalm 23. It's a passage that many of you can probably quote, but I want us to take and just get a fresh look at it this morning as we look at this theme this morning of how God calls us His sheep. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Will you join me in prayer? Father, I pray that this morning that you'll help us have a fresh understanding and a fresh appreciation for this beautiful passage of Scripture that you've given. Help us to learn what it means to be your sheep and why you refer us as sheep in your word. I pray there's one here that is not part of the fold. They've never accepted you as Savior. There's never been a point in their life where they've acknowledged their sin and trusted you for their salvation. I pray that today would be the day that they would come and trust you. Now, Father, I pray that you'll speak to all of us. Lord, this has been a great week of revival. We've seen many things happen and great decisions have been made. Lord, I want to thank you for working in my own life and things that you have shown me and the decisions I've made. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that that would not end. Lord, I pray that it would continue this morning. And then as we gather back tonight at Tabernacle, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to pour out your Spirit. We'll be responsive and we will be following you in whatever you lead us to do. So God, I pray that we will be your sheep today. And Lord, I trust you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction to this morning, this is part 5 of the series that I've been preaching. And if you've missed any of the others, you can find those sermons on our website or download them on iTunes as a podcast. But one of the things that I enjoyed about my trip to Israel many years ago with a group of pastors was to see those scenes of sheep and shepherds across the fields. They would be leading them and guiding them. There would be places where they were selling sheep, trading sheep. You would see those beautiful pastoral scenes, and then there were scenes where all you just hear was the baa, baa, baa of hundreds of sheep crossing the road while we sat there in our motor coach while they made their way across the little road where we were traveling. But, you know, in our culture today, unless you live in some rural setting, probably the only experience of sheep you've had is in a zoo somewhere. When you took your kids or grandkids or a school field trip to the zoo. Not many people have sheep, there are a few places that have. I passed one not long ago and was just taken back. I said, wow, there's a bunch of sheep out there, and kind of startled me just a little bit. But I believe we can learn much from what the Bible teaches us about our relationship with God as we look at why God refers to us as sheep and why he's referred to as a shepherd. And I think one of the great passages is the one we just read in this beautiful portion of the Word of God in Psalm 23. It teaches us, I think, many valuable lessons that we can learn about what it means to be called his sheep. And so as we look at this, what I want to call, as my pastor in Chattanooga, Dr. Jennings, referred to this as the pearl of the Psalms, I want to look at this psalm this morning as we continue this theme of God's names for his children and look at what is it that we can learn about being sheep. Now understand, we need to make a distinction here. There's the difference between sheep and goats in the Bible. Spiritually and biologically, there's a difference. Jesus addressed this in the book of Matthew chapter 25 when he referred to in that final day, in that final judgment, that there'll be sheep on one side and goats on the other. And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep, he's going to tell them to come in and inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And then he's going to tell the goats, depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So you need to find out yourself this morning, are you a sheep or are you a goat? Are you a follower of the shepherd? Or are you a follower of the prince of this world, the devil? But I want us to notice three things as we look at this morning and this passage and how we can learn about what it means to be God's sheep and why that is so important to God and why it should be important to us. And I think this is a great follow-up to our revival, because if we're going to continue with the decisions that God laid upon our hearts this week, if there are things that we need to do better in our families, in our churches, in our homes, in our jobs, in our community, then we need to understand what it means that God looks at us as being his sheep. Notice number one, sheep enjoy privileges. God's sheep this morning enjoy some wonderful privileges. And we see those things mentioned here in this passage. I just want to go through these quickly. I could probably take a whole sermon on each one of these points, but I'm not trying to do that this morning. But notice that, first of all, there's the privilege of being guided. The privilege of being guided. Notice in verses 2 and 3, he says here, he makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. Verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness. The shepherd always goes before the sheep. He always leads the sheep. It would be an anomaly in nature for the sheep to go first. and for the shepherd to be following sheep. Sheep can't be driven like cattle. Sheep have to be led. And the privilege we have is knowing that our shepherd is guiding us. Sheep don't have to know the path through the wilderness. They just follow the shepherd. That's all they need to know. They do not need to know where green pastures are or where quiet resting places are. They do not need to know where the still waters and the still brooks are to drink. They do not need to worry about where those things are. All they have to do is follow the shepherd, because the shepherd is guiding them. They can be content upon that. And you know, that's how we need to look at ourselves and need to look at the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We look at our past and we think, wow, there's been times where I've seen where God guided me. God protected me. God kept me out of some trouble that I could have gotten into, but because he was my shepherd, he was leading me. The hand of God as our shepherd is a wonderful thing to enjoy as our path, but it's also to know that in our present and our future, we do not have to worry what's in front of us. We don't have to worry what's on the other side of the hill or around the curve, because if we're following the shepherd this morning, we know he's got it all under control. We do not know what the future holds, but I can guarantee you this, I know who holds the future this morning. And that's all that is necessary as sheep, because the great privilege is that we have him to guide us and direct us. And so all we have to do and all he asks us to do is follow him. It's follow him. Now, we can't get out in front of him. That's where we get in trouble, is it not? Isn't that where we get in trouble, where we try to get in front of the shepherd? Where we try to go in a direction we think we know better, and we get off the path and the direction to get away from following the guiding force of the shepherd. But notice, not only guiding is one of the great privileges, but also we have the great privilege of being guaranteed. Guaranteed. Isn't it wonderful that in this day and world, we've got something that can be guaranteed? And that is the guarantee of what is provided to us as the sheep of God. Notice in this passage of scripture, he says in verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice this, I shall not want. I shall not want. In other words, we have the guarantee that our needs will be supplied. We have the guarantee this morning that the shepherd is going to supply all of our needs. He notice this as we go through this, follow along in this beautiful psalm. We shall not want rest, because he makes me lie down in green pastures. I shall not want refreshment, because notice this, he leads me beside still waters. I shall not want for guidance, because notice, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not want for some companionship in the hours of my difficulties and trials. Notice it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hallelujah this morning for that. He says, I shall not want for comfort. Notice thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice I shall not want for provision. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Notice I shall not have want for any care, because he says, you anoint my head with oil. Hallelujah. And he says, I shall not even want for satisfaction, because notice my cup runneth over. Boy, I tell you what, my cup ran over this week, and I tell you, I enjoyed every bit of it. He says, I shall not even want for joy, because he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of life. And those are the last thing. He says, I shall not have a want for a home, because he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As the earthly shepherd provides for his sheep, God provides for us. We find that as our heavenly shepherd this morning, he is all sufficient, and his sufficiency is the guarantee that comes with being one of his sheep. Hallelujah. Boy, you can't get a guarantee out of Wall Street like that. Amen. You can't get a guarantee out of the bank on your savings account, but you can get a guarantee from the shepherd this morning that he's going to take care of every need you've ever had. Oh, hallelujah for that. Notice there's also the privilege, not just being the guarantee and being guided, but notice he says we have the privilege of being guarded. Notice he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, you got to understand, as sheep, we have enemies. Sheep have enemies. Oh, there's bears and lions and wolves. Sheep are not safe by themselves. Sheep cannot protect themselves from these enemies on their own. Yet the sheep can feel safe because they know the shepherd is near. That's the privilege of knowing that you're being guarded this morning. The shepherd says he'll never let any of us perish. He has us in his hands. He tells us in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. As a sheep this morning, as God's sheep, the shepherd has you taken care of this morning. He has you guarded. And you don't have to worry about the devil. You don't have to worry about the world. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen in this way. As long as we're following the shepherd, as long as we're being guided and guaranteed, we know that comes with that, we are being guarded because he's the shepherd and we're the sheep. And that's what he takes care of us for. Oh, hallelujah, this morning. We have the privilege of being one of his sheep. Notice this. Not only are there privileges, but notice number two. As God's sheep this morning, there are certain responsibilities that we should embrace. As sheep, we embrace responsibility. See, the shepherd has his duties. We just talked about those. He has the duties, and he does those things. But notice that we as sheep have certain responsibilities. And there are things we have to understand. First of all, there's the dependence upon the shepherd. There's the dependence upon the shepherd. You know, I don't think sheep have problems worrying about things. I don't know if sheep could speak. I wonder if they're eating grass one day, you know, on the pasture. I wonder if one sheep looks to the other and says, I wonder what's for supper. I don't think sheep worry about that. I don't think one sheep looks to the other and says, you know, it's going to be coming winter soon. It's going to be snow on the ground. I'm worried about where we're going to eat. Where are we going to get food in the wintertime? How are we going to get grass? How are we going to be provided for? I don't think that's the case at all. In fact, I think you'll find that sheep are probably the most calm animals there are around. I think there's no stress. There's no worry. They don't have to have sessions together to work through their problems and of uncertainty and worry and problem. No. I've never heard of a sheep getting so disturbed. Then he goes up to the shepherd and says, shepherd, we need to have a meeting. I think we got to have form a committee. We got problems. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going on. We need to have a voice in making decisions. No, I don't think that at all. I think the sheep, all they have to do is follow the shepherd and just depend upon the shepherd. Your responsibility this morning is not try to tell the shepherd what to do, but just follow the shepherd and depend on him for everything you need this morning. You know, many Christians, we begin our day by borrowing tomorrow's troubles. Warren Wiersbe said that. We begin every day by borrowing tomorrow's troubles. But let me tell you something. God's not going to give you tomorrow's strength today. He's going to give you today's strength today. And when tomorrow comes, he'll give you that strength for tomorrow when tomorrow comes. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace will help you, guide you, and direct you. So there's no reason for us to sit around and worry about anything because all we have to do is just depend on the shepherd because he's got it all taken care of. He's got it all in order. He knows where the grass is. He knows where the stream is. He knows where the wild animals to keep you away from. He knows that. There's also a second part of our responsibility is not only to depend on the shepherd, but notice that we have a responsibility of our devotion to the shepherd. Our devotion to the shepherd. In his book called The Land and the Book, the author, Dr. Thompson, tells us that in the Middle East, there's often a strong affection between the shepherd and his sheep. If he sits down, they begin to gravitate to where he is sitting. They begin to come around him where he is. You never see him without also seeing sheep by his side. You'll notice that if he stops, they stop. If he moves, they move. They love him, and they love the pasture, but they also love the shepherd even more. The shepherd is devoted to the sheep, and the sheep are devoted to the shepherd. My question to you this morning, are you devoted to the shepherd? Are you totally committed and devoted to following the shepherd wherever he leads, whatever he wants you to do? Wherever he guides. Are we always gravitating to him? Or are we like Peter during Jesus' trial? Or do we follow off at a distance? Because it's not convenient. or because he might be persecuted or some way. I hope that we love him enough that we want to be in his presence, that we want to be devoted to him in every area of our life, at school and at work, in our homes, and in every way be devoted to the shepherd. Well, so we see the privileges. We see the responsibilities. But notice, lastly, number three, God's sheep should exhibit certain characteristics. There are certain characteristics about being sheep. And I've just listed them here real quick. Let me just kind of go through. And so what are some of these things that should be displayed? How should we as God's sheep display the fact that we are following the shepherd, that we are his sheep? Notice, first of all, is disposition. The sheep's disposition. What is the general disposition of sheep? I think the best word to describe it is gentleness. Gentleness. Just sheep are gentle creatures. Now, problem is, I know some people who claim to be God's sheep, but they're more like wolves than they are sheep. They snap their jaws like wolves. They growl like wolves. They bite like wolves. They hurt like wolves, and their very speech sounds like the howl of a wolf instead of a bay sheep. No, sheep are gentle. A sheep has its likes and dislikes, but it does not snarl, it does not snap, it does not howl, and it does not growl. It's the wolf that does that. But the sheep gently follows the shepherd. The more that we focus on the shepherd, Warren Wiersbe says, the more like the shepherd we'll be. Follow the shepherd means we need to be gentle. Oh, I think it's time that we start being gentle toward one another. I think it's time we start being gentle toward a lost, dying world and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ in love and in compassion and in desire to see them come to know the Lord. But not only do you see the sheep's disposition, but notice the sheep's desire. What is the desire of the sheep? You've heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together. You've heard that? Well, I think sheep also have a desire to flock together. If you watch sheep, watch how they move. You know, as they're following the shepherd, usually there's some up there that see the shepherd. But if you can't see the shepherd and you can barely see maybe the top of the staff, the head, all you got to do as a sheep, as they're moving to, just if this crowd moves, you just go this way. And as they come, they just go this way. Shepherds know that they keep them leading and that the rest will follow. Because sheep like to be together. They like to huddle together, especially if it's cold. Yeah, they stay warm that way. Especially if they're hungry or thirsty, they know they're going to find food. Sheep have a desire to do so, and God's sheep should have a desire to stay together. The Greek word for the word church is the word ekklesia, which means an assembly of called out ones. The fact that God's sheep flock together with other sheep is proof that they are indeed following the shepherd. And our desire should be to gather together with other sheep. Our desire should be to assemble together and to work together and live together and serve together and fellowship together and be together with God's church. So my question as a sheep, are you a goat? A sheep wants to be with other sheep. Goats, they just hang out with goats. They hang out with the devil's crowd. That should be the desire of sheep, is to be together. Another evidence and characteristic of being a sheep is the diet. Do you know that sheep are very particular in what they eat? I didn't know this, so I was studying this out. A goat will eat what sheep won't eat. A goat will eat just about anything. Am I right? Am I okay? Some of y'all had goats, I guess. You know what? Am I right? Goats are just eating. All right. Sheep won't do that. Sheep must have something that which is sweet and that which is clean to feed upon. So if we say the Lord is our shepherd, then we should give evidence of that by our true spiritual diet of the Word of God. We should be taking in the richness of the beauty of the Word of God and feasting upon it as hungry, thirsty sheep instead of trying to eat the trash of the world that goats eat. We just ought to put all that aside and focus on a steady diet of the clean, healthy sweetness of the Word of God. Oh my goodness, it bothers me sometimes that sheep spend more time at the table of the world than they do at the table of God's people. the table of the Word. No wonder you don't see blessings in your life. No wonder you don't have peace and happiness and contentment and joy. Man, you're eating all the devil's trash. You're eating all that junk food. But get in the Word of God. Have the diet of God's sheep and let God's Word supply you, and there's plenty of it to give you and satisfy you. But not only lives the last thing is the discernment of the sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And he went on to say that they follow him. Christ's sheep have a wonderful discerning power of knowing when God is speaking to us. We should not be deceived by strange voices, strange words. You say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Then there are certain characteristics about your life that you should be following. Don't listen to everyone else. And it may be somebody well-meaning. It may be somebody even in your own family that you said, "No, wait a minute, that's not the voice of God." Because anytime God speaks and God leads, it always lines up with His Word. He'll never do anything contrary to His Word. And so you can always line it up with the Word of God. That's why you need to be careful about some folks that are coming out today and some of the things they say and put on the internet and all their stuff, because they don't line up with the Word of God. But notice this. We are following the shepherd, if he is our shepherd, then we'll have discerning thoughts and discerning hearts and discerning minds to know what's the true Word of God. Listen to God's Word. "The Lord is my shepherd." Notice in conclusion this morning, I read of a story of a young boy who was seriously ill with cancer. His parents had taught him this beautiful verse in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the way they helped him to remember this, they gave him on his fingers, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. They had a number. Started with a thumb. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The Lord is my shepherd. And they taught him that verse. The Lord is my shepherd. And they told him that if there was any other time that he was ever afraid, to hold on to the fourth finger. We call it the ring finger as adults. But that fourth finger, which represents the word "my," says if you ever get afraid during your sickness or during the night, just hold on to your fourth finger, because you know that my shepherd is your shepherd. And you can trust him. You not be afraid. The story goes that one evening they kissed him goodnight and they left the hospital room. And during the night, the Lord called him home. And when the nurses came in to find him, they found that he was not alive, but he had passed away. But they noticed something in when the family arrived at the hospital, back at the hospital, they pointed this out. They said, "Look, he's holding his fourth finger. He's holding the finger that says my." And as God called him home, as the angels escorted him to the throne of glory, he was holding on to the truth and the promise that his parents taught him, that the shepherd is my shepherd. I'll not want. I'll never have to be afraid. Oh, that's just one of the great truths that we learn from this beautiful psalm. I heard long ago, I've heard it in different ways, expressed in different ways, but the story goes that there was a gathering of friends and at a public arena. And each person that was there, many of them had been asked to tell a story, recite a poem, or give some riddle of some kind. The story goes that when it came turn for this famous actor to get up, he was known as a great orator and would eloquently speak. He chose to quote the words of Psalm 23, which he did very eloquently and very beautifully. At the conclusion of him quoting Psalm 23, the crowd erupted in great ovation, and they stood, and hundreds stood to applaud this famous actor and his beautiful eloquence of quoting Psalm 23. Then it came time for the next person, and it was an old gentleman with a cane, walked to the microphone and stood up on the stage in front of hundreds of people in the auditorium. And he said that he was going to quote Psalm 23 as well. Well, the crowd was kind of, why? We just heard that. Why we won't hear it again? But the old gentleman, not to be deterred, rose and quoted word for word Psalm 23. And when he was finished, no one applauded, no one stood and cheered. There was almost everyone was in tears after hearing the old gentleman quote the 23rd Psalm. Someone asked the actor, says, "What's the difference?" And the actor got up to the stage and stood and said, "Friends, I want you to know that tonight I know the 23rd Psalm, but our dear friend over here knows the shepherd of the Psalm. And that's the difference." And he looked to the old friend and says, "Friend, I'd like for you to tell me how I can know the shepherd as well. We're his sheep. We as children of God are called to follow him. So my question to you, do you only know the song, or do you know the shepherd of the song?" Would you join me in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Jeannie and Vicky are coming to lead us.